Welcome to the Not in the Textbooks podcast. I'm your host, Audra, and I'll be sharing stories you've likely never learned in any of your textbooks. But before today's chapter, I need to clear up just a little bit of business. The views in these chapters are my own or my guest's own. They are meant for entertainment and educational purposes only. They do not reflect any connections to any employer of mine, my guests, now, in the past, or even in the future. If you need any medical treatments, advice, assistance, or care, please seek your own medical practitioners, not this podcast. Also, if I have a fellow healthcare provider, clinician, etc., member of the healthcare team, and we are discussing anything that has to do with healthcare stories, there are no HIPAA violations, or HIPAA violations, as we like to jokingly call them. We are not going to disclose personal healthcare information. We are going to change little tweaks in the story so that there's nothing identified. It's just for the education and entertainment factor. And most likely, things in the story have been changed so that you can't identify who the patient may be. So, on that note, I hope that you guys thoroughly enjoy the show. Thanks. Hello, today is August 27th, 2023, and I have with me Mr. Danny Irvin. Hello, BSNRN. How are you?
Hello, I'm amazing.
I love it.
How are you?
I am super fantastic. Thank you for asking. So we have talked several times. We're going to go over good, bad, and ugly. Care to go first? What happened this week that was good, bad, and ugly?
Good. Let's see. Let's start with the good stuff first. Good. I got through the week. It was a long, busy week, and it was a lot of learning. I started this new job, and they're teaching me a lot of stuff I need to know to do this amazing job in trauma at the university hospital. It's been a great learning process. Bad, my car's bad a few times. I need a new one. I hate it.
Yep.
I'm trying to work a couple things out before I like commit to a car payment and full coverage insurance. And then good, bad, ugly. I don't know. I can't think of anything ugly. People are ugly sometimes.
Sometimes.
I was around some people with ugly attitudes, but other than that, that's about it.
Okay. All right. Good for me is I got a new vehicle this week. I didn't even say it. Because I'm like, about your car not working, I have a new car.
I'm next.
You are next for sure. I got a new vehicle. The bad is that my air conditioning and old Francesca went out, and that was the last straw for me, after her battery died and all that other stuff. So that was the good, the bad. And then the ugly is this heat. I am over it. And we got a lovely cool front that I hope does more than what they're thinking it does and sticks around for a long time. It's too many days in a row of over 100 is oppressive. So that's been about it. That's it.
I know, I'm sitting here in my house freezing. I'm like, why am I so cold?
I know.
And it's because it's like, what, almost 20 degrees cooler than what it has been?
Has been, exactly. It's like 80 degrees outside and it had been like 110. It's like, what in the world? What is this? We don't know how to act. So this week we talked about that we were going to talk about how we know each other, let you introduce yourself to the peeps, and talk about nursing school and learning and all that fun stuff that we've talked about a zillion times. So I'm going to let you go at least introduce yourself, because they're probably thinking, who in the heck? Some people who listen already know who you are because they've worked with you too. But tell people who you are and all that stuff.
Okay, my name is Danny Irvin. I'm a new RN graduate and passed my NCLEX recently. I had to take it a couple times, but that's okay. I'm a single parent. My son is going to be 17 in November, and I'm gay. If it didn't happen when it did, it probably never would have happened, so I'm very grateful that I've had this opportunity. Just started a new job in post-trauma at OU, Oklahoma City downtown. It's been a great learning process, a lot of new employee orientation, so I'm still getting through that, but I think I'm going to really love it. If nothing else, I really love all the things they're teaching me, because I've never worked in like an inpatient setting mm-hmm. other than psych. So that's great. I like to cook. I'm an amazing cook, actually.
Mm-hmm.
My house is kind of where everyone has Thanksgiving and Christmas. And, you know, if you ever had any of my dishes or cakes or homemade bread, then you know what I'm talking about. So I'm a good cook. I really enjoy coffee, sitting on the porch, anything by a candle or water. I love anything like lake, camping, whatever. And
wait, you're a camper? Hold on. You like camping?
Yeah, not the bugs. And if we can like do all the daytime stuff and I can like, you know, be in a cool lodge, yes, I love it. I love anything by the water.
Okay, but
now,
you
I'm
don't
not
like
the camper
the-
who's gonna be like
out at the tent and sleeping under the stars.
No, and the tents are always full of mosquitoes. And,
okay.
You know, it's hot and sticky, but yes, I like outside stuff.
Okay.
I don't like to be hot too long. but yeah, what else can I say about me? I don't know. I'm on this more spiritual journey where I'm just really loving myself and trying to grow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm becoming a better person. I feel like a lot of people are noticing it too. Being a parent at such a young age, I wasn't able to really be selfish. You know, it was always putting everyone else's needs before mine. And I'm learning to love myself and put my needs first, you know, because if I'm not okay, I don't think everyone else can be okay.
Right.
I'm growing, I'm learning, and I feel like I'm getting better as a person. So I'm really loving it.
No, I'm proud of you for sure. We could be siblings. We have the ADD, the single parent track. You were a little bit younger than mm-hmm. me, but not just by a few years. And we did the CNA to, you know, LPN to, I did RN and then BSN, and you did an RN BSN track. And so trying to figure out how to explain to people, especially the people that don't listen, that listen from other countries. I don't regret the route that I took, the long route that I took to get to where I am. And I feel like there's major differences in each program. So for people who listen, especially people who aren't from this country or aren't in the medical field and don't understand all of that stuff, we were going to chat about that. So what are your thoughts?
I kind of regret my route. Now, I don't regret starting as a CNA because I really, oh gosh, I could probably talk forever about, you know, each step of my career, but I kind of regret not doing LPN to RN first.
Mm.
I did the LPN to RN BSN. So I kind of feel like I missed that core, probably about 30 hours of just RN registered nurse program type setting, because I did go LPN to BSN. It was an accelerated program. So I had to test out. I had to prove to them that I would either pass or be near passing the NCLEX to take this accelerated route. So mine was a little different, and I do kind of regret that aspect of it. But I also know that I'm at a university teaching hospital now, and I'm going to learn probably all of those things and much more. So maybe I don't regret it. But I have kind of felt at like a little bit of a disadvantage because I didn't have, you know, that LPN to RN and then the RN to BSN.
Right.
So.
But yeah. There are people who go straight from like high school to college and go straight to their BSN, and that's, you know, so there's so many different routes to get to the means to the same end. And there are people that get their ADN and their RNs and they never pursue their BSN, and you know, that's their prerogative as well. You know, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that stay LPNs forever, and that's fine. You know, there's nothing really wrong with that. I always try to encourage LPNs, though, to go back to school, because 99% of the time you're, and especially if they're around our environment, they're doing RN stuff. They're just not getting paid for it. They're just getting paid LPN money for it.
That is so true. And it's crazy. I mean, even I was an LPN for nearly 10 years, mm-hmm. you know, before I came in RN. So I taught RNs a lot of stuff that they didn't know. And it's like, why am I teaching RNs and I'm not making RN money? You know what I mean?
Yep.
And not just skills. You know, it's even like different kinds of treatments or, I mean, I can go on and on. There's numerous things I've taught RN students or new RNs or seasoned RNs. And many of the positions I've had, and it must be because if their, you know, full time BSN program was anything like mine, I didn't have a lot of clinical time. It was a lot of, you know, evidence based practice, research, you know, thinking, critical thinking, all of these different things. So
yep,
they don't get out of school and they don't know how to nurse.
They don't know any of the bedside stuff. Yeah. And that's why, you know, I wanted to kind of talk about this is like, okay, so we both were nursing assistants. Me, I'm a little older than you, age-wise, but we both did our nursing assistant back when, and I'm sure they probably still do that in a lot of the facility-based nursing, you know, nursing home type things, where they'll pay for you to do your CNA course, or they'll pay for the class, or they'll get you certified. But we did that back then. And so you were really just, here's the work, here's the class, go take care of people now. And so it was a lot of hands-on there. And then LPN school, I think I calculated up, it was 1,600 hours of clinicals when I did it. You know, it's a lot of clinicals. It's a lot. In a variety of different settings. I mean, where did you do your LPN?
Our total program, I think, was 1,463 hours. And I know that sounds crazy to know that, but I really think that's what it was, or close. I don't think it was quite 1,500 hours, but yeah, like 1,400 something hours. So we went Monday through Friday, like 8 to 3, I think, every day. And I went in ADA, Pontotoc Technology Center, mm-hmm. and it was a great program. It really was. Mm-hmm. I was scared to death. I didn't think I would get in. She's a close friend now, one of my best friends now, I met in the program. She only got in. She was picked as an alternate. So someone else who had a seat didn't come, so they called her. So
yeah.
They really try to fill those seats. Luckily, I passed everything and had a guaranteed seat, and it all worked out. I was told, I think it was like the second or third course we were in was anatomy and physiology. And I was told if I didn't get my grade up, they were going to have to drop me. So I was, right away.
You were right away, like, dropped. Oh, they're going to kick me right on out of here.
Yeah. And then, like, before that, my first day, I came home. I remember telling one of my close friends, I was like, I cannot do this. I was so scared. I was bawling. Uh-huh. And they were just literally wanting us to learn medical terminology. Like, like, I can't do this.
They're speaking Latin. I can't. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's Latin. That's exactly what it is.
It is Latin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's crazy.
It is crazy.
Where'd you go?
Oh, I'm still here. You can't hear me now?
No. Where'd you go to?
Oh, God. Lord, no. Oh, I'm like, I'm right here. I'm still here. I went to Francis Tuttle. And I went to the...
That's a good program.
It's a great program. I loved it. And I did like a mentorship with them later and stuff. I loved it. Hated it, but loved... When you look back on it, you appreciate what you went through. You know what I mean? Like, so I hated every second of going because it's a nightmare. It's an absolute freaking nightmare. And if anybody tells you any different, they just don't know. Like, you get through on a wing and a prayer and caffeine. Gosh, yeah, it's you literally any of those schools you get through, wing and a prayer and caffeine. That's it. Just
be prepared to just neglect your children, neglect all responsibilities. You're going to go to school. I guess your program was probably like mine, Monday through Friday, 8 to 4, 8 to 3-ish.
Yeah, I started out in a part-time program. And because I was a CNA and had this amazing home health experience with, that was when we did private duty, and then their company branched out, and then we were taught to do all kinds of stuff. So because I had all that experience, when I would go, I would skim the page and go, yep, I know that, and walk in and take the test. And so, I mean, and I would pass them. I was passing them with A's pretty much, you know, and I would just show up for a couple hours and, you know, clock in, do my couple hours and walk over, take my test. And I was way ahead in the curriculum. I got pulled in the first couple of weeks of the program, and they were like, we're going to kick you out because you're not clocked in enough hours. I'm like, I'm in the flex program. I don't have to be here. They were like, you have to be here 16 hours a week. And I'm like, but I can get the work done in like 2 hours a day. And they were like, you can't do that. I'm like, but I have been. But so I had to show up and clock in and be there for 16 hours and just like, so then I ended up being way, way far ahead in didactic and in classroom work, and way behind in clinicals, because they didn't have a clinicals person to do clinicals with a part-time class at the rate that I was clipping through the education portion. And they had kicked somebody out, or somebody had flunked out, whatever it was, of the full-time program. So they had a slot available, and I was exactly the number of clinical hours ahead and our clinical hours behind as they were clinical or book hours behind me. So I was behind them clinical hours, the exact number of book hours. So it was like a swap. They were like, you can just go, and we've got a clinical person that can take you to catch you up to where they are in their clinicals.
Oh, good.
And by the time we get you caught up to the clinicals with them, you will be exactly where they are with the book. And I was like, okay, you know, fine. And so I ended up entering in midway through to the full-time program and finishing with them. So it was like part-time program, I had to be there 4 hours a day. Is that right? It was 16 hours. So it was like 4 hours a day, 4 days a week that I had to be there and clock in and clock out. But okay, the full-time program, yeah, it was all day long, you know, 8 to 3, Monday through Friday, and you were either in that classroom or you were in clinicals. And
yeah,
and you know, it was like we worked full-time job for free.
Exactly. That sounds common for most programs.
Yeah,
not necessarily like how you swapped, but like them seeing, hey, this person is born to be a nurse, they have something that can't be taught in this classroom, and they're really trying their best, and we want them to be a nurse, so we're going to do what we can. Like she sat down with me and was like, hey, you're kind of lacking here in anatomy and physiology, we may have to, you know, let you go. But then they'll also, you know, work out a way to make it work. And whether that's like everyone's failing this question on an exam or whatever, I feel like most programs I've heard of, they ultimately want, I mean, it's got to give them better ratings, better money, better everything to have people enter the program, finish the program, pass and click. And I feel like they do a good job of that at all these programs that I've heard of anyway.
Yeah.
But I wasn't ahead.
No.
I had such like a learning deficit, you know, I had to raise a baby, so right? That's why I become a CNA, and I had to read and reread, and I had to like make flashcards, and it's like I was always writing, reading, and practicing these things because I didn't have a lot of, you know, I didn't have anything in high school. You know, I had a ninth grade education, so I had to teach myself all of the simple biology and all these, you know, maybe that's why it was hard to learn a lot of stuff at once, and especially in Latin, but Yeah, I was not ahead. So kudos to you.
Yeah. It was just literally because where I was working had two doctors, a doctor of an MD, you know, surgeon, and then an RN who also was a PhD in English Lit. And then I lived with someone who eventually became a PA. So, you know, it was like that language was all around me, and I was engulfed in a very, that job was very heavy on educating and educating appropriately. And I remember sitting down and watching these videos from Craig Rehab talking about people with spinal cord injuries having autonomic dysreflexia. And I was like, I don't even know what those words mean. And I had to go home and look them up. You know, you didn't have Google back then. This is how long it was. You had to go find yourself a medical book and look that shit up. You know, like, what the hell does that even mean?
The medical dictionary.
Yes. Like, you had to go find, like, a DSM book, or, you know what I mean? Like, you had to go find a ICD mm-hmm. book or a pathophys book and look that shit up. But they had a whole library of it because he was a medical doctor. So I was, like, going through medical terminology going, what the hell is autonomic dysreflexia? You know what I mean? And it's like, so I had a whole bunch of, you know, they were just really big on making sure we were very educated and knowledgeable about what we were doing and why we were doing it. And this patient in particular, who had so many multiple things wrong that, you know, from a spinal cord injury. And so it's like, there was just a lot that I knew as a nursing assistant, quote unquote, that I shouldn't have known. And there was a lot of things that I was taught to do as an extension of the family that just would not fly in a normal healthcare setting. So that was the only reason. But yeah, it still was a whole thing. It still was a whole thing. And as late as both of us are to get to places, it's a miracle that we made it. Cause if you weren't on time, you got docked. You know, if you were tardy so many times, it counted as an absence, and they would kick you out for those. Like, you know, mm-hmm. it was like, I have to be early, 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 you know. So it was, the fact that I didn't get kicked out for that was just a miracle in and of itself. And then after LPN school, I was like, God, I don't want to go back to nursing school, because I just assumed that every nursing school that you went to had that intensity of clinicals. And then when I went to RN school, that is not the case. Like, that when they start clinicals, it's like you start out going in class 5 days a week, you know, and then you get to a point where it's clinical rotation and you do two clinicals at the end of the week. You know, it's like you go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to class, and then Thursday and Friday to clinical. And you do that for 2 weeks, and then that clinical's over. And I'm like, that's all y'all are getting of that clinical. And that's why when you see these brand new RNs, that's, if they've gone through an ADN program, that's the only clinical they've gotten is 2 days in a med surg unit. And it's like, wait, what? And so those clinicals were literally nothing. And then when you go to BS in school, it's even less, you know, clinical. It's more leadership, critical thinking, like you said, evidence-based practices, you know, all those different things that are, it's just a different focus. And so there's very little clinical, you know, and people that leave high school, go to college, do their basics, and then get into a BSN program, it's like the RN program. They get very little clinical experience. It's just minimal, minimal, minimal compared to the number of hours that we've docked on a non-paid sheet. I'm getting beat up by a cat's tail.
I see. Not only that, I at this new job, I made a new friend, and she was explaining to me her program, which is the ADN program, but COVID. These nurses who had to go to school during COVID were so limited too. So I was like, oh my gosh, you know, cause I was beat up with clinical hours, everything. Psych, OB, like we got to go to delivery, you know, mm-hmm. postpartum you know, all of it.
All of it, yeah. Mother, child, all of that.
Mm-hmm. Burn unit. I mean, and then, like, these people.
Onc, pediology, oncology. I did pediology, oncology for a little bit. Yeah, I did all, yeah. But they only get.
I felt bad for her because she just does, like, stems, you know. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, and they're starting to push toward getting them just a lot of sim labs as their clinicals. And I just don't think that's...
Wow.
I don't think it teaches the same level of... I mean, I support it if there's good evidence that shows that there's no difference. But those sim labs, I guess they can make your patients have a crisis at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, they could sim it in to where you had to time manage that out. But when you're dealing, there's something different about when you're dealing with a real life patient that demonstrates real life pain and you're rolling them than a simmed patient. It's a whole different thing. It's a whole different. I mean, yes, on the sim patient, you still don't rip their IV out when you're rolling them over, and you still got to pay attention to the Foley, but they just don't get the same feedback from a sim than you do a patient.
Yeah, definitely.
And sims have no personality. They have what's typed in. They don't have... You don't have to deal with personality management along with, like, somebody trying to yell at you and hit you and all of that stuff that you dealt with, you know, like.
Yeah.
I mean, my psych rotation, I had an active schizophrenic patient who was hearing voices, and I had to ask them, I had to sit across from them and say, are they actively telling you to hurt me? And they were like, yeah. And I'm like, how do I gracefully exit? You know what I mean? Like, where you're done, because I'm in the, you know, you're in the back in an area interviewing your psych patient. There's literally no one else around you, like when I was doing mine. And so I was like, I've got to get out of here. I need to leave now. Scared.
That'd be creepy.
It was a little creepy. It was a little creepy. And he's like, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. They're not that loud. They don't like you. I'm like, well, I'm so sorry they don't like me. Why?
I remember being just terrified, like, just going in to do a normal skill on a not schizophrenic crazy patient and being terrified. I can't even imagine, like, being alone with one in nursing school. We never had to, I don't think. We stayed in groups through our psych rotation, and I went to LPN school in Ada, so the unit we visited wasn't, I think all of the real crazies probably were, you know, in Norman or other much bigger psych units, but we didn't have a lot.
We had to do a motivational interviewing exercise with a psych patient, you know, of like, tell me about the history of what, tell me about your parents, what do you feel about that, you know what I mean, like, so tell me more about that. Use active listening, use this, and demonstrate all these different things. And so going through the thing, I had kind of, you know, tell me about this, and okay, and so are you hearing voices now? And he was like, I'm in an active inpatient psych unit. Yes, I've been hearing voices. Well, do they ever tell you to hurt yourself or hurt other people? Yes. Are they telling you to hurt yourself or other people now? Yes. Is it yourself? No. Is it me? Yes. Okay. Do we have a plan on how to hurt me? You know what I mean? Like, do we have a plan on how you want to hurt me? I really don't want to hurt you. They want me to hurt you. Well, what are they telling you to do? You know, like, do we have a plan to hurt me? Like, is there a plan planned out? No, they're working on that. Okay, we're done. Thank you so much for working with me on this. But you have to find a way to exit without, like, you know, walk backwards out of the room.
Yeah. So don't make them be crazy.
Don't work them up. Don't hurt them. Don't judge them. Don't do any. It's just woof, you know. But it's terrifying when you're a nurse and you have to dosage calculate, you know, a vial of Ativan that's in one of those glass vials is point. This is how long ago I went to nursing school, and you had to, you know, they were those glass vials, and you had to pop the top off. You had to cut them and pop the top off and use the filter needles and all of that stuff. And the vial would be 2 milligrams of Ativan, and the patient's order was 0.5 mils. And you had to tell your instructor how much you were going to draw out. And that was quick math that I had to do, and I don't math. And also, I'm trying not to cut myself on a vial of Ativan and draw up with the filter and pull the cap off correctly and then put the right cap and pull the right dose out and tell her what dose. And I was like, I can't math. You know.
Those are ampules. We still use those. This pharmacy class at my new job was showing us all of the similar ampules and how easy it is to make a meter. And yeah, it's scary. You think you're going to like cut your finger just popping it off. But they, in the setting I work in, they have these kits now. So it'll be the ampule, the filter needle, everything's right there. And I think it's like for like these crash cart type medications.
Right.
They want you to have every, you're not running and looking for a filter needle or this or that. But yeah, the ampules always scared me.
Phenergan was in them. I'm trying to think of all the things. Of course, morphine. All your Schedule Twos were in there. So, your opioids, your Phenergan was in it for whatever reason back in the day. It's not anymore. You know, just stuff like that. That it's like, and I just remember cracking them and making sure you break them away from you so that you don't. Like, you break them toward you so you don't rack your hand across it, and then the filter needles, having everything with you, and then it's like you said, it's 2 milligrams in that whole ampule, and then you have to dose out, like, okay, so if that's the case, and then you have to waste the other, and you have to get a witness to waste, and you can't just leave that in the nurse server hanging out. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got this glass vial and you're like, shit.
put the solution in one thing, put the sharp glass object in another
thing.
Like, find all the different trash cans for everything. Oh my God.
Exactly. It's, you've got to go here and go there. And this one goes in what? This one goes in a black container. And that one goes in a sharps container. And that one goes in the med waste container. And that one, oh, stop. Just make it stop. Back in the day, though, all that used to just go in the sharps container, and that's why they separate it out now, because it costs so much damn money to put all of it in the sharps container, because it just weighs it down. Those glass things are heavy. Anyway, but yeah, so you have CNA classes, you can get trained for CNA classes in like a VOTEC, then you got LPN school that you can go to in a VOTEC, and then you have ADN school that's at usually community colleges, and then you have BSN programs that are actually at universities. So we both have our BSN, but with a slight change of route in each, and I was an RN for... almost 10 years before I got my BSN. So
I didn't know that.
It's okay. Tell him just not to chew on his paw. Yeah. Jordan, close the door. Thank you. I'm not editing that one out. It's staying. Because I got my RN. I got my LPN in 99. And then I got my RN in 2003. And then... I got my 2003. Oh, it's over 10 years. I was an RN for over 10 years before I got my BSN, because I got my BSN in 2015.
Oh, okay.
So I was an RN for all that time before I went back and got my BSN, which my pay didn't change.
One of my best friends, she and I were doing our basics to do an ADN program.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was something like we swore we were going to apply and get in together and do it together, because we had done all of these prereqs together. We really wanted to. And I think it was something like she didn't have a high enough GPA to enter the program or something. So she had to redo a class she had already taken. She needed to basically boost her GPA or something like that. And we realized real quickly, was like, oh my gosh, we have all of these classes. We need to go do a BSN program, not an associate.
For real.
Most hospitals are requiring you to be working on it or get it or have it within a year of hire or whatever, which I think COVID and a lot of other things kind of relaxed that rule. But
yeah, for sure.
I was like, yeah, let's do it. Mm-hmm. So that's why we did it.
Yeah.
I probably would have been ADN and then BSN.
Exactly. And then I did my BSN because I applied for a job, which I'm glad I didn't end up getting, because during COVID they eliminated that position. And I would have been finding another job.
And a bunch of other ones?
Yeah, and a bunch of other ones. But I had applied for a job and they brought me in for the interview just to tell me that on paper I had everything that they wanted, except that that job required a BSN and I needed to have that, and they just wanted to tell me. I'm like, girlfriend, that could have been a phone call, but it irritated me. It really irritated me that on paper I had everything that they wanted. I had the certifications. I had the certifications to teach the certifications. I had a pain management, you know, certification on top of a hospice and palliative care, you know, certification on top of. I taught the classes to get your hospice and palliative care certification. So it was like, you know, I had all these things and more, but because I didn't have the BSN. Plus, I had all this experience, you know, but I didn't have the BSN, so nope.
Aww.
And it just, I was like, I'm not going to have that happen again. I'm not going to have that. I'm not going to have that piece.
They probably hate it. They probably hated that, too. They probably really wanted you.
No, I'm sure they did, because they brought me in for the interview to tell me, you know, I know they did. And I was so disappointed at the time, but then, you know, fast forward to all those years later that I was like, guess what? At least I have a job.
Oh, I know. That was so sad.
Yeah. To see so many positions eliminated because of COVID was kind of crazy. But that's neither here nor there. So that pretty much wraps up that, unless you have something else as far as that, you know, the conversation about education and all of that.
No.
Nope. Not that I can think of.
Think I have anything to add to that.
No, I love it. I as much as I say it, I hate nursing school. I hate the pressure and the stress and the everything, but I have not regretted one single step of getting mine. And everybody's like, well, wouldn't you like to have gone back and just gone to nursing school straight out of? No, absolutely not. No. I am perfectly content uh-huh. with the steps and the hoops and the jumps that I took to get to where I'm at. So
yeah.
I wouldn't trade the experience and the experiences back for anything. I think it was good for me to get all those clinical hours and all that experience to have the confidence going into my RN program. I felt like I kind of was at a better advantage than some people that have just gone to that ADN program. So LPN school, 110%, I do not regret going to, and I would recommend it 10 out of 10 times for people, you know. But
oh yeah,
but definitely go back and get your RN, because you're going to be doing a whole lot of RN work and not getting a whole lot of RN pay.
Ain't that the truth? And people ask me a lot, they're like, I want to be a nurse. Should I go do this or LPN, or should I go to RN school? And I'm like, you know, I don't regret the way I did it either, because I needed to be able to make some money.
Right.
And as an LPN, you will make some pretty good money.
Yeah.
LPNs are being used everywhere a lot more than they used to be.
Yep.
Well, I heard of like real old nurses, RNs and LPNs talk about they used to run the ICU, and that was like almost unheard of when I became an LPN. LPNs were mostly in like clinics, home health, nursing homes, basically.
Yeah.
And if you were in the hospital, you know, you were mainly just passing medication.
Mm-hmm.
So it's becoming more and more that LPNs are seen in more different settings and have, you know, a lot of responsibility that the RN has. But yeah, you might as well be making RN money. It takes a while to you know, get through school. But yeah, we essentially do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that you can do, I mean, once you have your LPN, you directly can you can articulate directly into an RN program. Like a lot of them are like, yeah. Oh, you have your LPN, you're an automatic yes to get into the program, you know, and they work with you no matter what your GPA is and all that. They'll help you fix it and things like that. So, you know, there's that part, but don't just get an LP to get an LPN and then just sit on it. To me is and there's a lot of people that do that. Tanja, that was the host before, she did that, and she's perfectly content making her, you know, she's making good money for an LPN, and you know, it may not be much more than what an RN would make, but in certain setting that's the case. And if that's your setting that you love, then more power to you, but don't just sit on it. As my I always say that, you know, don't just sit on your LPN, go get it, because you make that RN money and it's a little bit more. It's a little bit more.
Yeah,
you know, so
yeah. And it really opens your type of settings you can work in.
It does. Yeah,
with I could have probably, you know, I'm kind of where I'm at now, and I have some things to do before I do my dream job, which will be definitely in education.
Mm-hmm.
But as an LPN, I wouldn't have been able to do much education other than teaching CNA.
Right.
And I was a CNA for so long, I don't think I would have enjoyed it as much. So to teach nurses like I would want to, it required me to be a RN and have at least a bachelor's, which I'll probably work on my master's or something else soon, but
yep.
I had to have it to do what I want to do. LPNs, you know, with their degree, they can find a setting they love and really make, as a seasoned LPN, I was making good money.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you can make good money and be in your setting you want to be in, yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah,
I couldn't, though, so I wanted to go back, but
that's pretty much that.
It all worked out.
It all does work out. So I will shift on that note. What are you listening to? Reading, looking at, watching on TV, listening to music. What are you listening to?
Oh, gosh. Education for my new job.
Yeah.
I thought I'd have more time to, like, do things I enjoy. But I've been doing education for that. And then I haven't been reading anything for fun. I try to avoid social media the best I can because that will really just like hold on to you for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing some meditating and I love like R&B music. So that's mostly what fills my ears now is education, R&B music. And then these loud Oklahoma bugs, you hear them?
I can hear them in the background. I was like, that's amazing. I can hear the crickets and the locusts in the background of your house right now.
I'm in my house.
And I could hear them. I'm like, it's going to be on there. They're going to hear those locusts in the background. Like, it's just going to be a thing.
And then I sound like I'm like from a trailer park in Alabama or Georgia or something.
Like, I love it though.
Danny's just sitting outside
sipping his sweet tea with his cut off jean shorts and his tank top on with his
about to go in his double wide and fry something.
No. Nope. Okay, so I have been listening to Bo the Fifth Column, which is a guy that is on YouTube that does videos, and it's mostly about current. It gives me what's going on in the news and stuff that I don't necessarily listen to the news because it depresses me. So mm-hmm. I'll get some snippets of like, what is he talking about? And then I can go look. So I've been listening to that. And then I just finished reading Less Drunk Nights from Kitty Powell that was on the podcast before. And I was an ARC reader for her. And it is smut. She has said it herself. It is smut novel. So good. It's about a female character who has six partners, three girls, three boys. So much fun. So anyway, it was good, but yeah, Less Drunk Nights by Kitty Powell. I read that And then I've been so behind on podcasts. I am so behind on True Crime Garage. I can't stand it. So I haven't listened to Tell 'Em Steve Dave or that in a while, and I need to get caught up. I am behind, and I probably will. So, but that's about it. That's all I've been listening to. So, anyway.
I do, actually. When I mentioned I'm on the spiritual path, and there's this, his name is Eckhart Tolle. Have you heard of him?
Eckhart Tolle? No.
He's like a spiritual advisor. He talks mm-hmm. about the pain body and your Ooh. Third eye and all of these different spiritual ways mm-hmm. to navigate through life and not be a negative person and not be burdened by, you know, the bad. You know, you can see the good and you can learn. And, mm-hmm. and I listen to him every chance I get, because I'm looking it up now, like his biography, and he's talking about how he couldn't live with himself any longer. Mm-hmm. And he just started, and it's just his spiritual journey that he shares with everyone. And it's mm-hmm. really interesting.
That's awesome.
That's what I've been listening to lately. Okay. These loud Oklahoma bugs.
Yes, I hear them telling everybody the stories of their people, the walk of their ancestors. Well, thank you so much. We will do this again. We're not making a commitment, but you'll hear us again. That's all I'm going to say is you'll hear us again.
Definitely.
Anyway, we'll see y'all in the stacks next week. Again, I cannot thank you enough for taking some time out of your busy lives to listen to this week's chapter, engage with the show, social media accounts, and for all of your feedback. I appreciate your feedback so much. It helps me to find those chapters and stories that you guys actually want to hear. If you have just a moment, can you head over to Spotify and follow the show no matter where you're listening from? It would really help me out. And if you want to, you can check out my flow page. It is flow.page/notinthetextbooks. It has all the links to the social media accounts and where you can actually listen. If you want to be on the show or you want to nominate someone to be on the show, please email me at notinthetextbookspodcast@gmail.com. Just a quick reminder that we're not all getting straight A's in the stories of our lives, and some people are having harder chapters than you are. So take a minute, pause, think about it, be kind. And if you're struggling right now because your chapter's super hard, I'll be your cheerleader. I'm here for you. Reach out, get support, and get the help that you need. Keep going. And on that note, I'll see you in the stacks next week.